Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go. It's Hour 5, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. After just reviewing the media that we've seen from the Mavs here over the last week or so, Rick Welts, Mark Cuban talking about things, I do feel like relocation is at least possible. I don't necessarily buy a conspiracy theory that they've been thinking they want to go to Vegas all along. I just think it could fall apart when it comes to not being able to get the casino approved here, losing basketball games, losing the relationship with the community, and then not being able to even get an arena built possibly. Like if you would add up all of those things, it's just going horribly. And I don't know if it's selling the team, changing who's in charge as the governor from Dumont to another, or maybe relocation is in the cards. But I think we have to consider, because as this story is now evolving 2 months in, what this is becoming is people are just done with the Mavs in their entirety. They're just like, nope, it's no longer an entity. I think you might have created much bigger thing than trading away your superstar. I think it might have been the death of a relationship with a fan base and a franchise. How do you get an arena built in that situation when the new mode of operation is for owners to get taxpayer dollars? Well, what elected official wants to saddle up with the Mavs? What fan wants to vote for the Mavs? You know, and now you have Mark Cuban. Okay, now you have Mark Cuban, who was owner and governor of the Mavs for a long time, and the fans trust. He might have annoyed us a lot, but they trust. The quote, going around Mavs social media and Mavs media today, Mark Cuban: "I fully expected to run basketball. The NBA wouldn't let me put it in the contract. They took it out. I thought the Adelsons would stick to their word because they didn't know the first thing about running a team. Someone obviously changed their mind." I think this is a pivot from Mark Cuban, who was kind of standing with the organization, telling fans to be quiet, stop chanting "Fire Nico," you know, to now I think he is ticked off. I think he's once again one of the fans and is, really, really ticked off about it. So I think that's, a big part of it. What we need really is for the Adelson family to realize how much their son-in-law screwed up, and he's going to cost them hundreds of millions, if not billions. And maybe they end up, selling the team, or at least getting somebody else in charge. But, I think, could you imagine if the arena's not a viable idea and AD gets hurt again next year and Kyrie Irving isn't able to come back? They're a bottom three or four team in the league. I think that is what the immediate future looks like most likely for the Mavs. I think there's a chance, but hell, even Lively's super injury prone. PJ Washington now can't get healthy. This thing could end, so horribly. I brought up Bill Parcells earlier in the show. That's what Jerry needed. That was 20 years ago.
Sure. Yeah.
But doesn't that show you need some sort of faith from the public in order to build one of these buildings?
You're right. And the thing that I just wonder is, a fan base, are we, even though the Cowboys, things were so bad before Parcells. I mean, we were bad three straight years and the fans didn't give up. They hated what we were doing, and rightfully so, but they didn't give up. And I wonder, as a fan base, we won't give up on the Mavs, regardless of what happened. I'm just saying, from a Jerry needed the stadium, but we needed to do better.
Right.
I mean, the fan base, even 10 years after the stadium was built here, the fans are still with them, but they're, they're mad, but they haven't quit.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Now, I guess the difference would be like the Cowboys just weren't good. The Mavericks have kind of done that to themselves. Like you were good, and then you traded away essentially your future, the player that
the Mavs fans have already
kind of
quit.
Did that to themselves in a way. Yeah. Like the Mavericks, it's not like the Mavericks said we're going to trade away Romo or Dak in his prime or maybe the player, right?
No, we were god awful, but
the Cowboys fans didn't quit, but Mavs fans quit. They quit before Luka. They quit a couple of years ago. Like, the TV ratings actually go to 0.0. When the Cowboys are bad, they're still 25 to 30.
I just wonder, as Dallas sports fans, do we quit on our teams like that?
Yeah, there's still going to be a lot of loyal Mav fans.
If anybody should have quit on their team, it's Cowboy fans for the last 30 years.
Okay, so now Dallas Mavericks CEO Rick Welts on the team broadcast the other night. Because Nico and Patrick DeMont aren't speaking in public.
Right?
Because nobody wants to hear from them. I don't think that's going to get any better. We're 2 months into it. The situation is getting more tense, but he's saying the team will need a new arena soon. He came aboard after the finals to take advantage of that momentum to build a new arena with a casino. The casino idea is out now. He's coming to the public, basically saying, elected officials, voting public, we need to get an arena going now. They have their hand out after backstabbing the fan base in the worst possible way. This was after raising ticket prices. It's completely tone deaf.
It's very tone deaf.
And you know, I'm now fascinated by the idea that they could go from buying the Mavs, getting to the finals, and maybe having to sell the team or wanting to relocate the team. I don't know what that could possibly look like, but from my understanding, the Vegas relocation idea is far fetched because of how much the NBA will get if they sell it as an expansion team, like $5 or $6 billion that they would all share. And you don't get that if you're the Mavs, but maybe the DeMonts would want to sell and then, you know, start their own expansion team in Las Vegas. I think some sort of a divorce probably is what I would project over the next 2 to 3 years in one way or another.
I just wonder what that does, right? Like, okay, you get new ownership, and I guess you're starting fresh, but the deed's been done, right? Like, what's you need another player. I mean, what is it the Maverick fans are going to be coming back to, right? Like, maybe I guess you win the lottery and you get a Cooper Fly. It's going to take something like that.
Yeah.
Because right now, it doesn't feel like you have anything with the Mavericks. Nothing of your, it's not ours anymore, you know, if that makes sense.
I mean, I'd rather have them leave and expand in Dallas just to restart everything.
Yeah.
You know,
rip the Band-Aid off, start fresh.
You could keep the Mavericks name, like the Hornets have been two or three different groups, and you know, you could just keep them the Mavs, put a team in Las Vegas. To answer your question, I think what it's going to take is sometime in the 2030s, this organization, wherever it is, this franchise, is going to have the next chance to draft a player like Dirk or Luka. But I think the foreseeable future is that grim. And if you are a local businessman, if you are a local investor, why do you want to give them a bunch of money for a sinking ship that backstabbed their fan base? I don't know why.
It's not a good look.
How do they get advertising partners? Like, everything right now is just gotta be blowing up in their face. And I think, like, selling the team ultimately could become very interesting for the Adelsons. And let's try to be in charge of the expansion team in Las Vegas with our lessons learned. Okay, we got to run. A proper round tripper coming up next with Woolchuck. Buddy, where are you taking us?
Opening day history and Josh Young on his goodie bag. That's next.
Yeah, buddy. Proper round tripper time. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Frankel and Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. Only get paid when you win. Go to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's the Frankels. And here's Woolchuck to take us around the bases.
Jack Leiter on the bump at 24 years and 341 days. He's going to become the youngest pitcher to start one of the Rangers' first two games of a season since 2014, when Martin Perez did it at 22 years and 362 days. So hopefully a great outing for Leiter. We do have Seager at shortstop tonight. Lineup at the top three is the same. Semien Seager, Langford. Jock Peterson is DHing. Adolis Garcia in right field. Berger, Young, Jonah Heim catching tonight. And Leody Taveras rounding out the lineup there at center field. Now, yesterday, I think we all could certainly relate to this guy who went viral after his team lost game one of the Major League Baseball season.
How the f*** do you blow that lead? God, I f*** hate this team. How is it that a starting pitcher will go in there, pitch six scoreless f*** innings, and then every time some a**hole gets up there in the seventh and starts serving up meatballs like he's working at a f***ing sub shop. God f***ing damn it!
Yeah,
bet on the game a little bit.
Yeah, that's losing your mind after going 0-1 when there's 162 of these things. But hey, there were some positives. Certainly Nathan Eovaldi looked great, and the bats are going to come alive tonight. I'm looking for the Adolis Garcia home run ball. Now, speaking of home runs, we had some history. If you did not hear this earlier, Tyler O'Neill of the Orioles has extended his Major League Baseball record with a home run in six straight opening days now. This was his first with the Orioles, but that is unbelievable. Six straight opening days with a home run. He is Mr. Opening Day. And yesterday we had Austin Wells make Yankees history. First Yankees player with a leadoff home run on opening day, which is pretty darn incredible.
We could have used a Mr. Opening Day. Seager and Adolis combined 0 for 8 yesterday. Yeah. Wolchuk, what the hell was that?
Just not acceptable.
Let's get it done, guys.
Yep, today's the day. The bats are going to come alive. Tanner Houck's going to get bumped out of this thing after three innings. That's my bold prediction. But the big story yesterday, what a great teammate Josh Young is. And yeah, here was the Jungle Cat talking about the gifts that he gave all of his teammates on opening day.
It all started when it was around Christmas time, and you see the quarterbacks and running backs gifting their linemen stuff. That's where it started. And for me, as I was sitting there, I was like, man, why don't we make this something in baseball? Why not gift your teammates something? Opening day is basically our Christmas. So I wanted to do that, and I truly believe if you're going to develop and create an unselfish culture, you got to be unselfish. And that was truly all I was thinking about.
Hey. Unselfish culture, you gotta be unselfish.
Guy.
He is.
This guy.
I'd love to have that guy as my teammate. Josh Young just giving gifts to everybody.
I'd like to have this guy as a son-in-law.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like this Josh Young guy, he's dialed, dude.
Definitely.
Yeah. Bringing the old man something over.
Oh, like, yeah. Like,
yeah.
Hey, Gavin, I brought you.
Here's something plus for you.
I brought you a John Deere tractor, riding tractor.
You just know he's really giving and caring. You know, he's going to take care of your daughter.
Oh, Josh, I can't accept this. You know?
He's a sweet man.
I park it out back. You know, I'll get.
I don't want any of the gifts. I just want to know my daughter's taken care of.
Well, he's probably one that's going to treat her right. That's the kind of guy Josh Young is.
Yeah.
I saw must see teams. We got the watchability rankings courtesy of Sports Illustrated. Tier one must see TV was the Dodgers. Shocker! They got a bleeping super team. It's like an all star lineup there with the Dodgers. The Braves made this. The Phillies, because of Trey Turner and Bryce Harper, and then you stay for the Philly Fanatic shenanigans, and then Juan Soto and the Mets were the end of that tier. Big expectations. You had the Yankees with Bellinger and Goldschmidt. You've also got Rodon, who started great yesterday. The Diamondbacks, Corbin Carroll, a 30-for-30 threat in his third full season. The Mariners, because of their rotation. And the Orioles, like the Mariners, the O's could have shot up to Tier 1 with a signature offseason signing, but they chose to stay rather quiet. So we still haven't gotten to our Texas Rangers yet. Where are they? Are they in the fun and frisky section? You bet they are. Right there with their opponent, the Boston Red Sox and the Cubs. The Rangers are the fun and feisty section. They missed the playoffs last year, but this rotation and lineup could be really, really fun to watch if they stay healthy. We need that lineup to get the bats going tonight, Gavin.
We do, and we need this bullpen to not screw it up. You know, you weren't far off from that Mets fan or whatever that was in that audio clip last night in the eighth inning with you. Fuming like that.
We were losing it. We were. Yeah, and we Luke Jackson Luke. Really upset me. And I love Luke. That's our guy. But figure it out, Luke.
Luke was great.
Figure it out.
In his uncomfortable clubhouse conversation with the nosebleed guys. That might have been the finest performance he's ever had.
Hopefully
in the big
that's
leagues.
Not his highlight for his.
Let's hope not.
No, he's won a World Series, though, with the Braves.
Has he?
Yeah. He has.
Luke Jackson was a World Series winner? Yeah. I don't know. Well, best of luck to him tonight. You know, I'm looking at these guys with a very critical eye. And if they need to be called out daily, I'm going there.
Oh, I know you are.
I'm not here to be patient and just wait for this bullpen to figure it out. We've been down that road several times in this organization, and I'm not standing for it.
Red Bull Formula One, Dawson. Remember that one.
Thanks to James Tritely and the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. A flub in the beginning, but after that, 4.5 hours flawless. Salute to you, sir. Thanks for helping us out here in Lucius's absence. Thanks to Wolchuk and Broadus as well. Rangers pregame's coming up next. Game two against the Red Sox, looking for their first win of the year. Till Monday at 2, it'll be a 3-hour show. You're going home with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.